Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. And, of course, up on TSN 2 now. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Jonas Siegel is in here from The Athletic. Confirm or deny coming up. Bob McKenzie later in the hour. We have a couple of winners to get to as well. And we're going to do that in just a little bit later in this hour, including a Pizzaville giveaway and our grand prize winner. We've been looking for the whole grit grinder, giving away $10.50 in cash, and that is going to be handed out to somebody at some point this hour. So we look forward to that. And a three-pack of Toronto games tonight, right, with the Jays in action against the Yankees, and some big news here, courtesy of Charlie Montoyo. First and foremost, Teoscar Hernandez has tested positive for COVID, so he's out for a minimum of 10 games. And it has to make you wonder about contact tracing. What does it mean for other guys on the roster? You know, like, remember before last year, before they started the 60-game season, they listed all those new rules that they were going to be diligent about. No chewing gum, no handshakes, no spitting, no hugging. That's just gone now. Like, it's not a part of the program. And I get the impression, like, a lot of guys have been vaccinated. I think some guys have even tested positive. Like, Bo Bichette said recently, he had COVID. He found that out based on the antibodies. So he's like, I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I think he said he'll get vaccinated at some point, but he doesn't feel like he's in a rush because he's already had it recently. But Hernandez on the 10-day COVID IL. When the team hits the road here, George Springer is not even going to travel with the team. So Springer, remember, like, 10 days out of the opening of the season, it was like, okay, he's dealing with this oblique issue, but I think he might be able to play. Grind. He really wants to play. He's adamant he's going to play. And then the day before the season started, they put him on the IL, which was the right move. But at that point, they thought, home opener, Angels, they'll figure it out. He'll be back. No, that didn't end up happening. And not only is it an oblique issue, which apparently has been a part of the past now, he's overcome that. Now he's dealing with a quad injury, which is significant enough to keep him out against the Angels, keep him out now against the Yankees. And they're about to hit the road. He's not even going to travel with the team. So what are we talking about here? Like 20 games, 25 games he's going to miss to start the year and start his career as a Blue Jay? That's tough, man. And, man, they need him too. Like, it's early, but the bats have been so cold. And this is a team that doesn't have a history of winning. You know, like, you gotta set the tone early in the season and get moving. And Springer was going to bring you know, that element to the team based on his history in Houston and winning pedigree. And now he's not even going to be around the team. They're going to hit the road. He's going to stay in Dunedin. That hurts. Yeah. That stings.
I agree. Like, I'm concerned about it just because, like you say, if the bats were alive, I mean, the whole narrative going in was like, is the pitching going to hold up? And, you know, like anything, if the bats could bail them out, you know, no problem. There'd be nights where, you know, maybe you can't outscore your issues on the mound. That hasn't been the case. And that, you know, I know it's still early and there's so many games left, but it's just nice to have a great start and feel good about things and where things are headed. And, you know, when you have kind of the stud that you brought in to kind of be a leader and you haven't seen him yet, so you're kind of waiting and, how long is it going to take him to get up to speed and feeling good about his game? And, you know, it just until you actually see him in the lineup and see the what they're capable of when they're all healthy or close to healthy, it's tough to judge what this team's all about.
Absolutely.
That's the thing I have a tough time with where, you know, I know you're in tough against some of these opponents, especially the Yankees. Like, they're, you know, Garrett Cole, like you say, arguably
you knew he was
as good
be
as
money.
Anybody.
Yeah, and he was last night. He was
right.
Lights out. And then you're facing Chapman to close the game. I mean, that's a tough bookend in terms of what you're going against. But, you know, it's not – they've had one breakout game. That Saturday night, they put 15 on the board after a rain delay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they couldn't play on Sunday because that got rained out. And outside of that, their bats have been incredibly quiet. And, Jonas, you made that point earlier. Like, Springer was brought into – He's got the most pop at the top of the order of anyone in baseball over the last 3 years, and that's not available to him.
And
it's not going to be anytime soon.
You just have to hope for the Jays' sake that this isn't kind of the start of an injury thing. Like, he's 31. He hasn't – like, he's been pretty healthy throughout his career, just looking back at some of his stats. But this is kind of the age where that kind of stuff creeps in. Like, we saw it with Josh Donaldson – where he just started to get nicked up a little bit more. So, like, if you're the Jays, obviously you're just going to want to be careful, but you just have to hope, like, it's a five-year contract, that it's not going to be a thing. You know what I mean? And that's the risk when you sign a guy at that age, like, that this stuff starts happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sports. It can happen. Again, these are not – like, we just talked about Jamal Murray. That's season-ending, blew your knee out. What are we going to get when you come back? Could be a grind. These appear to be more of the line of the ilk of kind of nicks and bruises, so to speak. Like, more substantial than that, because he's missing time. He's going to miss, you know, a fair amount of games here. But oblique into quad, that's another thing. We were kind of joking about it at 4 o'clock. Like, when was the last time a guy got injured with a different injury while being on the IL, with one injury?
Yeah.
Like,
I've never
heard of
that.
Oblique injury, and now you're on the IL, but you're going to stay on the IL, but not because of the oblique injury. Now it's because of a quad. Like, that is not something that happens very often. And obviously the Jays are, you know, they have to be prepared for it. You have to overcome the absence of one player. You know, even without him, you still, there's no excuse for why everyone else in the lineup isn't bringing more to the plate, you know, literally and figuratively. Vladdy's doing his job. Bichette's been pretty good. Semien's been okay, pretty good. Grichuk's been actually very good, but they need a lot more. You know, Gurriel's back. Hernandez is going to be out for a while, but he's been quiet. The catching position has effectively brought nothing to the table at the plate, and they got to get more. Kevin Biggio's got to get going. So that's part of the debate going into another game tonight against the Yankees. So Pizzaville wants to celebrate TSN 1050's 10th anniversary with a $100 Pizzaville gift card giveaway. So shout out to Pizzaville for hooking us up here again. Today is our 10th year anniversary, and the phone lines are open as of right now. 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. It's our 10th anniversary, so the 10th caller in. 10th caller in at 416-870-1050 picks up a $100 gift certificate courtesy of Pizzaville to celebrate TSN 1050's anniversary. And again, thank you to Pizzaville for the gift card. Order Pizzaville's two pizza special, two large, two toppings combined for only $21. Contactless delivery is available. Order online at pizzaville.ca, pizzaville.ca. So shout out to Pizzaville. And again, the phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. Caller 10 right now picks up a gift card courtesy of Pizzaville to celebrate TSN 1050's 10th year anniversary. Have I said that enough times? I think in the last 3 minutes, I think we've got
absolutely
that covered.
Absolutely, though.
You guys ready to fire up some confirm or deny?
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yes. I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
And Confirm or Deny is brought to you by our friends at Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. So, considering the theme of the day on the station and on the show, 10 years of 1050, we've been around for 10 years now, we figured we'd apply the Confirm or Deny game looking 10 years into the future. These are going to be a lot of future projections or claims, and we'll go around the table and we will either confirm that we see that happening or deny that we see that happening. All right, let's get started here. Confirm or deny, we'll start with you, Jonas. In 10 years, one of Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner will still be a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Oh boy. So those guys would be
33, 34.
Confirm.
Can I jump in? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm confirming it.
Yeah, I think one of them for sure.
One of them. Not both, but one for sure. I think so.
Yeah, I'm confirming it too, and I'm not sure it won't be both. You know, I know we look at Matthews and he's got 4 years left, American, Arizona. You know, I get it. But I think this guy is about legacy too, man. You look at the way he plays, the way he continues to grow, what he's doing here. And Toronto, like, this organization treats their players as well, if not better, than anywhere in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is five-star across the board. And The idea of him becoming like the greatest Leaf of all time, which I think is within range. I think Mitch Marner's along for the ride with that pursuit as well. I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that both guys could play themselves into the conversation, top three, top five Leafs of all time. And 33, 34, you win it. If you can win here, you know, how old is Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin, or
right
Evgeny Malkin?
There.
They're 33, 34, 35.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got Backstrom and Ovi, the same kind of thing. You've got Kane and Taves. Like, if you reach that, where you win and you become a staple, those are the two guys that are going to stick around. Right? Like, everyone else might come and go. I can't guarantee that anyone else on this team is here in 10 years. In fact, I wouldn't say anyone will be. But those two are outliers. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to confirm that at least one of them.
I'm
just saying, I think it's a possibility that both could be here in 10 years.
Listen, a lot of it stems on success. And as you know, I mean, there's turnover if there isn't success. But, you know, I think both of those players will write their own ticket on how long they want to stay with this organization.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I think, you know, the core will change and, you know, Riley and Freddie and, you know, other people. But I think both of those players, they will say, they will continue to build around them. So if as long as they want to stay, they're staying. That's
the
way
ball's in their court. And it's long overdue for the Leafs to do what a lot of other organizations have done for a long time, you know, where you get great players, and they did that through the draft, develop, and they stick around. Is it, you know, it's rare. You don't see it a ton where guys stick around for that long. But you look throughout the league right now, there are a number of prominent star players who have been in the same market since they stepped into the league, right?
Yep.
Like Sid,
Patrick
Gino,
Kane,
Ovechkin, Kane, Taves, Stamkos, Hedman, you know?
Yep.
There's a lot. McKinnon's going to stay in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that are doing that. Confirm or deny, 10 years from today, one of Vlady Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette are still with the Jays. That one's
baseball's a little harder.
I'm not as confident in that. I got to be honest. I'm not as confident in that because I'm not as privy, educated-wise, as far as contracts when it comes to, you know, major league contracts. I feel like Vladdy's going to, you know, if he reaches a threshold, he might want a long-term deal at a big number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bo, I feel like I'm going to deny it. I feel like they –
I think that's the right play.
One of them might move on.
Well, and like in baseball, like guys like that, if they become stars, they get poached. Like the Yankees come along and they take you. You know what I mean? Like Mike Trout is kind of the exception. I guess we've seen some guys like stay in their markets, like Christian Yelich signed. And
we just saw Tatis Jr. do it. We just saw
14 years. Like I guess
that's
possible.
No, I think it's very
possible. But that's San Diego, Brian. That's not Toronto.
No, it's not. But, I mean, Toronto's a bigger market than San Diego. And historically, the Padres, how many great players in Padres history can we name? Like Tony Gwynn is the first one that comes to mind. Yeah, Tony Gwynn.
Didn't Dave Winfield play there?
Hoffman was there.
You wouldn't associate Dave Winfield with
absolutely
you know.
Ken Caminiti. Remember him?
Yes,
I don't remember
his time with the Pods. Like I think of Gwynn. I think honestly, Hoffman is a guy I remember. Like he set all the closer records or whatever. But there's not a long history in San Diego. And listen, there isn't in Toronto either. But I think the game is changing here. I think if Vladdy and or Bo grow, You don't take them all the way up to arbitration anymore for the true superstars. Like the Jays may try to play that game differently, but you can see it right now with what happened with Tatis Jr., with what happened with Acuna Jr. I think it's going to happen at some point with Juan Soto down in Washington. I think if Vladdy and or Bo do damage over the next year or two, the Jays would be smart and likely will follow in the footsteps of other teams and say, here's a 12-year deal. Lock them in, and then guess what? You control it at that point, unless they want to demand out. I think it's possible. I'm going to confirm that one of Vladdy or Bo are here in 10 years.
Well, I mean,
they haven't played themselves into that yet, right? Like, you can't compare them to Matthews and Marner because those two are better players at their respective sport and have been more consistent and have more of a track record based on age more than anything else.
A little bit older and, exactly, or more established, correct. But, I feel like nowadays in pro sports, and you're right, you made a compelling argument with Crosby and Malkin and that, but like I feel like we're starting to see a shift in what star players want to do. And I know the NBA is quite you know, a leader in that.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's going to slide into other sports.
I think it very well could. Yeah, I think you're right.
10 years is just a long time, though.
It is a long time.
I'm going to look up the 2010-11 Leafs and see if you can name any of them.
I'm sure we can name some of them.
The 2011 Leafs?
The 2010-11 Leafs. Who was the leading scorer?
It's got to be Kessel back then.
Yeah, good one.
Probably.
I guess that was an easy one.
Yeah, that's an easy one. But
I have I have somewhat of a recollection on that team. Just I don't know why I would. But if you want to test us, we could do that at some point this hour.
We should.
Okay,
we test the 2010.
Why don't we go back to
Leafs?
That's a good call. Actually, we should go back 10 years and we'll quiz ourselves on the 2010-2011 Leafs. All right, continuing here with Confirm or Deny. One of Masai, Bobby Webster, or Nick Nurse are still here in 10 years. Just one.
Deny.
I'm denying that, too. I just don't. I can't picture 10 years of, you know, executives, like a coach, no way. As much as everyone loves Nick Nurse, and they should, 3, 4, 5 years from now, if it's going south, that championship caliber stuff gets thrown out the window. Like, there's just too much turnover at the coaching ranks.
Well, who is most likely of that group? Bobby Webster, probably?
Probably Webster, because he's signed as of right now. Masai, until he signs and decides he's going to stay here long-term. And I don't see Masai staying here for 10 years, even if he does re-sign. That one seems like an obvious one. What about this one? Confirm or deny, 10 years from today, Kyle Lowry will have a statue built of himself outside of Scotiabank Arena.
Confirm.
You're going to confirm the Lowry statue?
I'd like to see it, but I don't know. What is the waiting period for?
There isn't one. There's no constitution on that. Yeah, there's no you know, statute of limitations. Because I think I'm going to confirm this as well. I think he will be included with other players, because I think MLSC is probably a little bit. I get the impression like they might be a little bit sensitive to the fact that like the Leafs have Legends Row, which they should, but the Raptors are going to have to get something out there too. You know, like 10 years from now, the Raptors would have been around for 35 years. It's their building as much as it is the Maple Leafs building. It's a lot of history. I could see a Legends Row type, you know, statue going up, and Lowry clearly would be the first one coming to mind.
So on it would be Lowry, DeMar, Kawhi? Eh?
Well, they'd probably put Vince in that. They would include Vince. Yeah.
Maybe Bosch?
Maybe Bosch.
Freddie VanVleet?
Yeah, Dig.
Well, in 10 years, you never know. Right. It would have to be retired players, I would think.
I think deny. It's going to be longer than 10 years, but it'll happen.
You think so?
Okay.
Yeah, 10 years. Like, stuff moves slow.
Yeah, it does. It does for sure. Confirm or deny. The Buffalo Bills or the Cleveland Browns will have played in a Super Bowl 10 years from today. One of the two teams in a Super Bowl in the next 10 years. Confirm or deny. Bills or Browns?
Oh. I'll confirm that.
Really?
You're a Baker Mayfield guy?
Yeah, well, I think these teams are both kind of on the rise. Like,
I'll confirm it. I think the Bills are going there
at some
point.
Yeah, like they could go there next year.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely think the Bills could. Like, look at where they got this year. They got to an AFC Championship game this year. And they're an up-and-coming team. They've got some cap space. They've got the quarterback. If Josh Allen is real, I believe he can get them to a Super Bowl. I don't feel so great about Cleveland. Feel a little bit different about Cleveland, but you give me 10 years if Allen is here and in his prime, which he will be for another 10 years, I'll take 10 tickets for sure. I'll confirm that.
I'm denying it. There's just
there's
too
a
many
lot of history
like,
suggesting
the field.
That.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see it, but maybe they get close, but I just and it's more because of Buffalo. The other guy I don't like.
You're
so
not
that's
a big
why.
Baker Mayfield fan?
Oh, yeah,
you
love
his
swagger.
No, I don't.
No, I get it.
Hayes loves him. I don't.
I'm a believer in Baker. I think at some point. I think last year he didn't turn the ball over a lot. He played.
Yeah, he
played
was good.
Fine.
He was in 50,000 commercials.
You know it, man. He sells. Cleveland's a big market. It's got to be a part of the program. Confirm or deny. Either the NBA or Major League Baseball will have a second team in Canada 10 years from today. Mm. One of those two leagues will have a second Canadian team up here.
Deny. I'd like to see a second Major League team in baseball go back to Montreal.
That's the most likely outcome here. I don't see the NBA coming back. When they ripped them out of Vancouver, I don't think the NBA is coming back. Although COVID could change things in terms of expansion, right?
Heck?
Like, there's a lot of money to be made by selling a franchise via expansion, and there may be some Canadian dollars, but I'm going to deny it. I think baseball just toys with Montreal too much, and it's just to get a new building in Tampa, and they'd rather stay in Tampa. And I don't believe the NBA is coming back.
I'm going with it.
Okay.
What about Vancouver? Why doesn't Vancouver get any talk
for baseball?
Both.
Well, we'd have to ask someone out there in terms of what actually happened with the Grizzlies. Like it, and David Stern said a lot, you know, before he passed away, that his biggest regret was pulling out of Vancouver as quickly as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't give them a lot of runway. Like they had a couple of bad drafts. They had a couple of, like, the Steve Francis debacle where he's like, I'm not going. And they had a couple of bad hirings. And I think all of a sudden they were really bad for a while. And the people stopped showing up. I'm not sure how much money was being invested into the team. I'm not sure how much of the local market was there in terms of support with big business and filling up suites. And they pulled the pin so quickly. Like, they got out of there so quickly that they didn't really give it a chance to be revived. But I just, I don't know.
It's a bad taste. Like, all I think about when I think of Vancouver is that big country, that
mutant. Yeah, Brian Reeves.
Yeah,
he was the best pick ever. It was an awful pick. Awful. And that was their first pick ever, I believe.
That's what set the tone for the organization.
Well, and furthermore, like, the Raptors took Damon Stoudemire in the same draft, and Stoudemire won Rookie of the Year, and that led the Raptors in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But they had a bunch of bad drafts. And, again, I remember Steve Francis vividly being like, I'm not going to Vancouver. I'm not going to Canada. It was like, great. We're already doing this, like, before the draft. Like, at least in Toronto, guys got up here for 2 or 3 years and then said, I want to leave.
But it was so new at that point, too. Like, I think he's like a 96 draft. And, like, the team is, what, 94, 90?
Yeah, 94, 95, I believe, was the inaugural year.
So it's so new then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It's just such a great, like, city, and it's, like, it's better than most of the cities in the NBA.
Oh, it's a beautiful city, Vancouver.
I don't know.
It is.
And when you consider where
city.
They went to Memphis.
Yes.
You know, it's not like they went to New York or went to L.A. or Chicago. Like, they went to Memphis. They're in Memphis. They're in Oklahoma City. They're in Milwaukee. They're in a lot of small markets in the States.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and B.C. baseball is really, like, a lot of guys come from B.C. I'm surprised that there's no team in Vancouver for MLB.
Yeah. Well, it's Seattle, I think. You know, they support Seattle so well, and I think a lot of people in Vancouver and throughout the lower mainland support the Mariners, and they just feel like they don't have to step on that territory. And I don't know if there's a park there. You got to get a park built. You got to get owners that are willing to spend money. There's a lot that goes into it, clearly. So we got some more. We'll try to squeeze in later in the hour. We'll also get into that maybe quiz, the Maple Leaf quiz of 10 years ago.
I'm on it.
Okay, you're on it. Confirm or Deny was brought to you by our friends at Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for more details. We still got our grand prize winner to give away. We'll get to that at some point this hour. Bob McKenzie coming up, our TSN Hockey Insider. We haven't caught up with Bob in a long time. The Hockey Outsider. I guess that's how we're supposed to call him now. And Bob's been on the station as much as anyone over 10 years, so it's going to be great to have Bob on. It is the 10th year anniversary of 1050, and we're ecstatic to be here. We thank everyone for being along for the ride, and Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN2. All right, Leafs, Jays, Raptors in action tonight. Bob McKenzie will join us here in just a moment. The Hockey Outsider, catch up with Bob in just a moment. But it is the 10th anniversary of TSN 1050 today. We've been doing a ton of giveaways all throughout the day on the station. And we want to thank everyone over the years for listening, for watching, for downloading, you know, following on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything. All the people in front of the mics, behind the mics, behind the glass, behind the scenes. It's been truly an incredible ride. And with this being the case, we knew it was coming. We decided we have to give some money away here. We have to. We have to give $10.50 away of cash, right? $1,050 away. We've been asking people to nominate their friends for the past, you know, week or so on Twitter, on Instagram, using the hashtag TSN1050 10 years. And we have a winner.
Wow.
By the name of Jamie Nugent is the winner of this prize. He nominated his buddy who ran a marathon in a tight tuck stash. Hair like Jonas. There he is. Look at that dude running around. Knee brace on. Darts and pints and pizza and wings waiting for him at the finish line. Our kind of guy. And that's what it's all about. So shout out to Jamie and his buddy and everyone for listening and watching and supporting over the years. We can't thank you enough. 1050, celebrating 10 years. And Jonas, you were a part of the ride right off the start. You were one of the day one guys, and I was a day one guy. I remember I was on. I started here at 10 a.m. I was on from 10 to 12. They just slid me in.
They wow, gave me I love
2
it.
Hours. And they said, that's about it. And then I remember at noon, they were going to call it, I think it was That's Hockey at Noon is what they started with. It didn't last
right.
long. And Coolius was in.
Cooley that's was right. Doing, oh, yeah. I was on the show with him. One
were
time.
You on the show with him at some point? I'm sure you were.
Oh,
that whole spring
yeah.
and throughout the summer. And Cooley was the guy. And Bobby Mack, I remember, was like the first in-studio guy. They brought in Bob McKenzie to be a part of day one. Kind of overshadowed the guy that was on from 10 a.m. to noon. I can't lie. I had to keep promoting that Bob's going to be on at noon. Here he is, our TSN hockey outsider, Bob McKenzie. Do you remember that, Bob?
No.
I'm telling you, it's a true story.
That says more about my age. No, you know what? Now that you told the whole story, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. I kind of remember that.
Yep.
And they might have brought me back in for the drive hour. I'm not even sure.
Yes.
They didn't have me on the. I'm not sure why they didn't have me on the 10 a.m. show with the new guy. Other than as you well know that you know. You're on the 10 a.m. shift at the radio station.
No, it wasn't good. Believe me, I wasn't. It was funny because day one, it was Richards was in the morning, and there was, you know, everyone was celebrating that we're on, and there's cameras around. I remember I went on at 10 o'clock, and like the CP24 camera guy left. He's like, I'll come back at noon. I'm like, well, I'm going on. Like, if you want, I'll have something for you. I don't know what I'm going to say. But that wasn't the best introduction.
Awesome.
To the building or the industry.
That's awesome.
That
10
matter.
Years. Wow. Seems yep. like yesterday.
Well, you've done a lot of these over the years on every station throughout the country. How many hits do you think you've done in your career?
Oh, man, I don't know. I used to, like, probably average 20, 30 a week.
Right.
No, probably about 20 a week when I was in my prime. So.
Wow. Wow. That's a pretty wow. good run. Well, I was fist pumping, I guess it was Sunday night. Because, you know, there's all this stuff going on and people are wondering what kind of trades are happening. And, the focal points at that point, I believe, were maybe Foligno had been flipped. Maybe Riddick had already been on his way here. I'm not sure.
No, and Riddick hadn't happened. It was later Sunday night.
Okay, so later Sunday night. And you know, people are focused on Hall and they're wondering what's going on. And in sweeps the outsider with the Jeff Carter news. And no one had Carter on the radar. Like, how did that happen? Because you jumped on that one, and everyone's like, oh, Jeff Carter's going to Pittsburgh. Bob's back in business.
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Right. Absolutely. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one, because otherwise it was a pretty half-hearted effort by me yesterday. But nevertheless, it was a pretty muted trade deadline period. But it was fun to get back in the saddle for a day and hang out in Studio 9.
Yes.
And contribute to the cause a little bit. Now today I'm going back to being the outsider.
Well, I mean, in terms of that deal, the Carter deal, Pittsburgh is giving me some flashbacks here, Bob. Like in 16-17 when they went back-to-back, they were obviously at the forefront because of who's on the team. But
yeah.
They just keep winning games and they keep plugging along. And now they bring in a veteran guy like Carter who's got his cups. And I don't think they're getting enough attention.
You know, it's funny when the season, you know, I remember last year in the bubble return to play. Let's go back even further. Last spring, when the season got paused, prior to the season being paused, I kind of thought that Pittsburgh was, you know, a sneaky threat. That yeah, Washington in that division was good and. And, you know, Boston and Tampa were the clear class of the Eastern Conference. But I thought, yeah, you know what? And part of it was because Jimmy Rutherford told me that he had a real good feel about his group when things were paused last year. And then the pause happened, and I thought, yeah, they still might be for the return to play. And they came back, and they obviously got dusted by Montreal in the first round, and they didn't look good at all. And everybody said, well, that's it. The window has closed. And there was part of me that thought that, and there was also part of me that thought, I don't know, maybe because they're an older team that relies on Crosby and Malkin and Letang and the veteran guy so much that this whole return to play in the middle of the summer thing just wasn't their bag, and that maybe that was it. And then when the season began, I thought to myself, you know, Jimmy Rutherford liked them because they were quicker. And he did admit that the X factor was going to be the goaltending. And when they got off to a really tough start at the beginning of the year and the goaltending wasn't very good and then Jimmy resigned, and it you know, it just had that feeling of like, man, this is it. The window closed. They missed their chance for a third one in recent memory, a fourth one overall. And that's it. And then yet suddenly they got healthy. They started to get some half decent goaltending. And to your point, now when you look at that division, as much as, you know, Washington's really good and the Islanders have been lights out, you kind of look at Pittsburgh a little bit and you're like, yeah, you never know. I wouldn't bet against them either. So it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, that division's probably as good as it gets in the National Hockey League right now. And it'll be tough for anybody to come out of that, whether it's the Islanders or Washington or Pittsburgh or whichever team makes it after that, because I know Philly's been obviously a big disappointment.
Yeah, you know, I was going to go back to kind of like the deadline and kind of how, I guess, quiet it was. And, you know, the contributing factor, everyone had laid it out. You know, you've got a flat cap, you've got money in, money out, you've got, COVID and the border situation, you've got teams that are kind of hanging on, you know, thinking, okay, maybe if we sneak in, we can make a run. Like, it didn't seem like from your perspective, when you're doing your research and talking to managers, did it seem like a different deadline as just far as the narrative and the thought process for and also throw in expansion too?
Seattle,
did it just seem like a different, because every guy I was talking to was like, I don't even know what the marketplace is going to look like. We're just going to kind of see as we approach. Like, what were you getting from your sense from a lot of, you know, the people that you spoke with?
Yeah, I think that if I'd done any research, they would have told me that, all that. But but having said that, you're absolutely right. Although what I would say, too, is it really depends on the team. So, I mean, if you were talking to Kyle Dubas approached this deadline the same as any general manager of a team any year who right. feels like they've got a legit chance to win and maybe a better than average chance. And maybe the Leafs case a little bit because of the playoff structure, the fact that we know there's going to be a Canadian team in the conference finals, in the final four. And Toronto's thinking to themselves, how well they've played this year, why not us? And if that's the case, let's do everything we can to make sure we win those first two rounds. And then let's do everything we can at the deadline here to give ourselves the best chance to win in the third round and put the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup final. So, in Tampa as a defending champion, you know, they weren't sitting there saying, we won it last year. I think it's time to hoard first-round picks, and let's not worry about plugging a hole on the blue line by getting David Savard. Julian Breesville was like, hell with that. Let's in for a dime, in for a dollar. Let's blow another first-round pick. We did it last year with the Goodrows and the Colemans, and we won, and it was great. So let's do it again. So there were a handful, but there's only so many teams that find themselves in that situation. And so, you know, the St. Louis Blues are sitting there and they're looking at Colorado and they're looking at Vegas and they're looking at Minnesota and they're looking at the way they've played lately. And so Doug Armstrong, he wasn't in the mode where he was like, well, we've mostly sucked lately, so why don't we sell a bunch of guys? And we won the cup last year. If we have to take a step back and replenish the draft picks and whatever, we'll do that. He didn't want to do that because right before the deadline, they won a couple of games and looked good doing it, and yet he didn't want to go out and buy either. So it was kind of twixt and between a little bit. But so as I said, there's a handful of teams that approach this deadline the same as they would any other deadline, and I would put the Leafs in Tampa and Boston for that matter in that category, and that's because these are teams that believe they have a chance right now to win the cup. And in the case of Boston, certainly, and to some degree Tampa, they think, you know, the window's not going to stay open here forever. Marchand's not getting any younger. Bergeron's not getting any younger. Tampa's cap situation's not getting any better. So let's do whatever we can. And in the Leafs situation, they're looking at the Matthews and Marner and Nylander contracts and the way the team is structured right now and saying, you know what? It doesn't matter. We've only got 5 or 6 picks over the next couple of years. We're trying to make hay right now. Let's do it.
With Bob McKenzie, in terms of the Leafs, we had this conversation earlier, Bob, about how they're really trying to find players that bring a different ingredient to their team, and they're compensating for what went wrong in the past couple of years, or it seems that way anyway, where they were a team loaded for skill, loaded for success in the regular season, but didn't have that, you know, conventional grit, intangible type ingredient for the playoffs. And over the past 12 months, they've added Thornton, they've added Simmons. Now they bring
almost
in
all they've added.
Exactly, it's almost all they've added. Even Riley Nash, if he's going to be in, Ben Hutton, you know, he does it, not necessarily the toughest guy in the world, but right. Bringing in Bogosian. Do you think they've overcompensated here, or do you think this is the right plan here for the Leafs?
Well, I wouldn't say they've overcompensated simply because there's only so many of them that can play anyway. So there might be some unhappy campers by the time it's all said and done. Because, you know, when you look at the Leafs, you know, you got Matthews and Marner on the top pair. You got Tavares and Nylander on the second pairing up front. You've got now interchangeable left wingers who can mix and match and move around. So that's, you know, Hyman, Galchenyuk, and Foligno, now Foligno. And so, you know, in a perfect world, Galchenyuk continues to play as well as he's playing, and he gets one of those top two-line spots. You can flip a coin and decide whether it's Hyman or Foligno, what's the best fit for the other second line top two spot on the left wing. But I mean, even on this Leaf team, the way they're structured and the importance that Sheldon Keefe attaches to the third line, and you know, and Hyman is a huge part of that, and you know, and Engvall and Mikheyev. So it's not a demotion if whoever ends up on that third line. It's more a testament to whoever's on that third line can really help drive things. And so, but you know, so there's your top nine basically set. So then it's a matter of, well, you got Spets and you got Thornton and you got Kerfoot, and that's been the de facto fourth line. But then what are you going to do with Simmons, and what are you going to do with Riley Nash, and how are you going to mix and match all these guys? And, you know, and does that mean Jumbo gets replaced on the fourth line and he's suddenly out of a job, or, you know, what's going to happen there? And that'll all come out in the wash. And I don't think the Leafs are particularly worried about that. And it might be a storyline for the media if somebody like a Simmons or somebody like a Jumbo or, you know, any of the other depth guys they've got there, if there's no room for them. But, you know, that's why they were cleaning up, get Barabanov out of there and anybody else who's not along for the ride.
Well, they got another one tonight and a few more down the stretch, but we know what's coming in the playoffs. It feels like it's going to be Toronto, Edmonton, Montreal, Winnipeg, and it'll be a fun ride. It's always great to have you on, Bob. We'll do it again hopefully soon. I have no idea when we have you back on. That's for you to make that decision, basically. But we'll get you back on whenever you're ready to come back on.
No problem. Now, was Jonas on their show, or was he?
Hi, Bob.
There's Jonas. I mean, I like to validate you talk.
Well, I couldn't. We have, like, this little text chain, and I just couldn't sneak in time.
Yeah.
Jonas is writing his next article for The Athletic. Every hour he has to have something new online.
Yeah. So. Any ideas, Bob?
That's right. Jonas is out there selling subscriptions like it's his job.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's the way it works now. Anyway, Bob, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right. Great to talk to you guys, including you as well, Jonas.
See you, Bob.
Happy 10th anniversary, man.
Yeah, exactly. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. And Jonas, you've been here for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You've done the show with us many times, and you were a day one guy.
Well, I should, before we go, and I know we have a little bit of time, I should thank you on behalf of, like, the audience, because I'm one of the people, many people who listen to the show. People love your show. So you guys deserve, like, everybody, not just you guys, all the people behind the scenes, like, a lot of credit. I get people coming up to me on the street saying, like, that's the best show. I listen to this all the time. Like, people love your show, so... Good on you guys for building it up from the ground.
Yeah, thanks, Jonas.
Thank
well,
you.
We appreciate it. We wouldn't be here without the help of everyone. And
Including you and, yourself. Like I say, everyone behind the scenes. Like, honestly, you can't, like for us to get the air, if it was just the three of us trying to sort it out, it'd be, you know how that would go.
Yeah, an hour it would be the end of the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
no,
we have a lot
of
fun.
Yep, it's and obviously we also wouldn't be here. This goes without saying, without everyone being along for the ride. You know, listeners, viewers, downloaders. A lot has changed. You know, in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, we're on radio, TV, podcast, web, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're everywhere now.
It's crazy.
It's a different world, man. We'll come back and tee up the Leafs, Jays, Raptors. Try to sneak in some Leafs quiz kind of history based on what they were doing about a decade ago as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, it's been a fun day looking back on 10 years here on 1050. We'll be doing this a lot, you know, very self-serving stuff. I know people really want to hear about all our old stories. But, you know, every once in a while you get a chance to look back and thank everyone at TSN, thank all of the audience, everyone we've worked with over the years, radio, TV, everything across the board. We're incredibly lucky to be on here every day, and we never forget that. And it's been 10 years. We got on the air. The Leafs were out of the playoffs. Jonas, you have one or two quick questions quizzing us on that Leaf team from 10 years ago.
All right, the game is Who Am I?
Okay.
So here's the first one. I was acquired from the Anaheim Ducks. I wore a big mustache, and I hit really hard.
Oh, Winnick? What was that guy's name?
No, nope, good
it was
guess.
The small guy. I can't remember his name. He's right-handed
shot.
Oh,
Mike Brown. Mike Brown.
Nice. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike Brown. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay, there you go. We got one more for us, Jonas.
All right. I scored 30 goals this season, 10-11, for the only time in my career.
Kuhlman.
Ding, ding, ding. Man, that was easy.
Wow. Yeah, Kuhlman. That one.
Pros.
I knew we only had one. That was the MacArthur, Kuhlman, Grabowski year, right?
Grabowski year, however.
Yeah, everyone loved that line. That was the next great line of all time.
Was that when you interviewed him at his wedding?
No, that was later on when Jonas got that scoop.
That was tough for
you. That was one of the great scoops in TSN 1050
history. That's one of the greatest.
Awesome.
I don't feel any support for this.
There he is. I love it. All right, Jonas, thank you, buddy. We'll do
thanks,
it again
guys.
Soon, I'm sure. There
yeah,
he is, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic, one of the day wanters here at 1050 Noodles. Great stuff, buddy, for 10 years, man. I haven't seen you. I've seen you once in a year. But
it's crazy.
We'll
it's
get
crazy.
Together again soon.
Eventually, we'll be right back in there. We'll
absolutely.
Be doing
we're out of here. Right. Enjoy your evenings. Three Toronto games tonight. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at 4
Jonas?
P.M.
We'll chat then.
We'll chat then. Butcher job.
Just
on 10
butcher.
Years.
Yeah.
Butchered.